is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
I'd like to welcome you all to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Tiffany Ware, your podcast host. And today I have a very special guest. This lady is a powerhouse prayer warrior, an inspiration, and just overall a very motivational person. She's also very passionate about God, passionate about life, passionate about her family, her career. And I'm so excited to have on Miss Lindy Ellerby today. Welcome, Miss Lindy.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Tiffany. Thank you for the humbling and kind words. It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are very, very welcome, Miss Lindy. Okay, so I've known Miss Lindy for quite some time. She actually attends church at Wayman Chapel AME with my mother. So I know her through there. We've also participated in different fitness programs in the past. So I have an icebreaker for you, Miss Lindy. As you knew, Quinn was very, always just full of fun. And so I always try to start my sessions off pretty light. So I have an icebreaker question. And so my question for you is, what is your favorite travel destination and why?
Oh, okay. Cool beans. I absolutely enjoy going to Florida. But anywhere there's a beach, but I've gone to quite a few different cities in Florida. But, and that's the main reason why I love the water. I love the beach.
Yeah. Absolutely. They say, that's what I was just going to say. They say when you get around water, that's when God can speak to you most. And it is, it's like really revitalizing, almost like going to a beach and, you know, cause it's in Tennessee. So we don't really get that type of weather, that type of, peace. And so, I like just listening to the waves. So absolutely. I completely understand.
Absolutely.
This. Beach is a fun thing to go to for sure. Well, I appreciate it, Miss Lindy, indulging in that, icebreaker question. So I want to get into who is Lindy Ellerby. So I just want you to describe who you are, where you're from, just a little bit of background to let our audience know who you are.
Okay. Well, I was born in Oklahoma, but grew up in Tennessee. My parents met in the Job Corps program. My dad was from Oklahoma and my mom was from Tennessee. And so that's a bit of where I come from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then background wise, childhood, because my parents ended their relationship while I was, you know, very small, I grew up without my father around, but I saw him, you know, every so many years briefly. I am the oldest of four children. I'm the only female. And my youngest two brothers are much like my children. That'll probably make a little more sense later. But we have a very unique bond as siblings and then as like mother-son relationship. And I'm grateful for that. And then I do have two adult children, three grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. And I must admit that sometimes I forget that my two oldest grandchildren are my grandchildren and not my actual children. But yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Yep. And for school wise, background there, graduated from Columbia Central High School. Then I graduated from a technical college in Nashville, which later became Drones Junior College. Okay. Then I graduated later in life from Columbia State Community College. And then I enrolled in Middle Tennessee State University, and less than a year there to go, and I would have secured my degree and licensure to be in education for the Tennessee. And then work-wise, Miss Tiffany, I started working at the age of 15, had the privilege of working government jobs and a few large corporation jobs. And then I landed a job at a corporation for a KFC. And I served there for 17 and a half years. The owner operated over 200 Kentucky Fried Chicken stores across 12 states. And so after leaving there, now I am a licensed financial strategist in several states. I'm working on covering all of the United States of America and getting into Canada and Puerto Rico.
Wow. Yes, you ma'am. Are very well rounded, Miss Lindy.
I try to be. And then, you know, as far as like what, just something simple about me, mm-hmm. is that I am positive energy. Mm-hmm. I am positive energy, and I see myself as a connection specialist. I enjoy meeting people, traveling, and I have a passion for education and being instrumental in the lives of other people, especially youth and young adults. So that's Lindy.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that. I like how you tied it all up at the end, because I feel like the last statement was everything you just gave us. You gave us like the resume of life and then tied it all together. So I appreciate that, Lindy. I think it's important when people can know who we're talking to. And so that education field and youth, yeah, I can see you all over there, even the finance piece as well. So I'm so excited to have you on. So we're going to get into the meat of our conversation today. And I always like to start all of these off with asking people, do they remember the first time, like the very first time they experienced loss or grief?
Okay. So the very first time that I even remember a loss was, I may have only been 4 years old, Miss Tiffany, mm-hmm. but I was in Oklahoma at the time with my mother. And she had gotten a phone call, and then she started crying. And of course, I wanted to know what was wrong. Why was she crying? And mm-hmm. it was her grandmother that had passed away. And so with that being said, excuse me, mm-hmm. of course, I cried because my mother was crying. Right. So that's like the very, very first remembrance that I have. And then the next one, I guess, for me would have been, I was a child, a teenager in high school, and I got pregnant, and my mother went and had to bury the baby while I was still in the hospital.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So
that would be the next biggest, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Death that you experienced. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's heavy, Lindy. That is. I mean, like you say, as a young child, you know, seeing your mother with really not even understanding what's going on, but then for something so significant to happen when you're in high school, still a teenager very much, that's a lot. But I appreciate you for sharing that, because I think it's important when we can really connect, you know, with people and share different stories. And I'm sure you'll get into some of that as we continue our conversation today. Yes. But I know one thing we did talk about was your mother. We talked about Miss Linda Joyce Moore. And so I do want to take the opportunity for you to just honor her memory and honor her legacy right now. And tell us who she was to you.
Yes. You know, my mother was not prideful at all. She wasn't prideful at all. If she needed help, she asked for it. Mm-hmm. She was a very easygoing person who loved laughter and making other people, you know, smile. She would give you the shirt off her back if you needed it, and not think anything else about it. So very loving, very giving. Very mm-hmm. family oriented. Nobody ever had to question, did she love them? That goes from friends to, you know, family. You never had to question it, because you always felt her love and she showed it. And so that's a little bit about Linda Joyce Moore. Just very caring, not prideful at all, very compassionate about people, and love to laugh, and just love making other people happy as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Everything you just described to me is what I know of you. So a lot of those characteristics you definitely carry, Lindy, and your love and passion for people, for serving people, and being there, being present. So yeah, you just described yourself kind of. I didn't know her, but I see where, you know, her legacy definitely rubbed off on the person you are today, for sure.
Wow. For sure. Thank you, Ms. Yes. Tiffany.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that. Uh-huh. I'm glad you actually, you know, see that in me. I give God the glory for that.
Because, yeah.
she was very, very, you know, instrumental in my life.
A special lady, special lady. So I know we brought your mother up because I know she did pass away. In that process of her passing away, was it a shocker? Was it something that she had going on medically? Or how did that go for you when she did transition?
Oh, wow. Okay, so literally, I was in the process, physically, in the process of moving back in to live with my mom. And so on this Friday night, she and I were talking on the phone, laughing and cutting up, and I was at home packing, me and my daughter. And so mom called, and we're laughing and talking, and she wanted me to come and hang out with her. And I didn't, and I said I was going to, you know, stay and finish packing, you know, so I can get out quickly, you know, as quick as possible. And so the last time we talked was like midnight that night on the phone. And she had never gone out before to this particular party that happens every year, once a year. And she decided she would go to that party. And so she went to that party. And the next day, I'm leaving my apartment to go put stuff in storage. And someone's honking, honking, honking their horn at me. And I just waved and kept going. Well, when I got back to the house, I had a card on the door. And so I called the number and they told me that I needed to come to Pulaski to the hospital. And so I'm freaking out and I'm trying to tell them, you know, I'm on my way. I give you permission to do anything you can do to help save her life. You know, you have my permission. So anyway, I gathered up, you know, my brothers and my children, and we went up there, and the whole time I'm still calling, trying to, you know, tell them, do what you can do to save my mom's life, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
So we get there to the hospital, and then they call us in a room and they say, unfortunately, your mother didn't make it. You know, she's gone. And so of course, I just, you know, collapsed down and I'm crying and everything, and you know. So long story short on that part, my oldest brother, he went in to actually do the identifying.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm crying and crying. And I remember so distinctly my daughter, who was 10 at the time, she was being so strong, and she just wiped the tears from my face. And she said, Mama, everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
So that was that initial shock.
Oh yeah, that's a lot, Lindy, you know. Talking to somebody, everything's fine one day, and then that next day you get
hours
that type
later.
Of news. Yeah
hours later that morning. Yeah,
you get that type of news, and it's like, then you get there, you know, you're probably thinking, oh, everything's gonna be okay, just do what you gotta do to save her. And then you get there to get that type of news. That's a lot. And
it
I'm sure
was.
That took a lot out of you. And you're the oldest. I'm thinking about that too now. You know, you're the oldest child. And so, yeah. Ooh.
And Tiffany, you know, even what you just said about being the oldest child, I think now that, you know, my mother was the oldest of five and I was the oldest of four. And my mom, I've heard all the stories all through life and then watched it and observed it. She did anything she could to, you know, make sure her siblings were good. She always looked out for them, you know.
Gotcha.
And no matter what they did, she was always there for them. Good or bad, she was always there.
So how old were you, Lindy, when that happened?
Ooh, I wasn't 30 yet. I was in my 20s.
Still young.
Yes, ma'am. I was in my 20s. And so, again, yeah, not even 30 yet. Never experienced, you know, needing or having to be the one now that's got to get some stuff done and this type of thing done. So I had experienced, you know, loss of, you know, my my grandmother, my papa, a best, you know, a good friend, and, you know, different things I had experienced loss, but nothing,
nothing like it.
Prepared me for this.
Mm-mm. When it's a shock like that, Lindy, I don't think anything can prepare you for it. Mm-hmm. You are completely blindsided by something like that. And let me ask you this. Do you have any like unresolved feelings or questions that came about after her transition? Like, what happened, or what, you know, just like the questions that go through your mind when it is something so tragic and so sudden. Like, this is not anything we can prepare ourselves for when we go through these type of things. So I'm just interested to know, do you now or currently, or did you at that time have any of those feelings just wanting answers, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I wanted answers. I mean, I had to be strong to get things done that need to get done, because everyone's telling me what I need to do now, right?
Right, right.
And so a lot of it is a blur on a lot of the conversations, and a lot of it is so fresh as if it just happened, you know, today or yesterday.
Wow.
And so I remember having people to, someone even called the house and said that they were going to, had a lawyer, and this was really bizarre, right? Mm-hmm. So I had someone to call the house and say that they had a lawyer, an attorney, that wanted to talk to me about that incident, the car wreck that had happened mm-hmm. with my mom, and that had said that it was a head-on collision. Well, it's Pulaski.
Right, okay? Right.
It's Pulaski. Mm-hmm. And this was quite a few years ago. And so immediately after I've gotten the news and I've gotten back home to and grasping the situation and have to move forward, I'm wondering, did they do everything they could to save my mom's life? You know, she begging, you know, for help? Was she crying? You know, what was her state?
Right.
In that crash while it, you know, happened, and them showing up to get her or any, I mean, I had all kinds of questions. And it didn't help my grief having all those questions. Mm-hmm. And like I said, those who know, and those who don't know. But yeah, Pulaski is known for, you know, some organization that don't quite like melanated people.
Yes, that's true.
And
that
so,
is very true.
Again, I was so concerned about that. And hearing this, like, why does an attorney, you know, someone contacting me this fast within a few days? And anyway, I made it through all the arrangements and, you know, the funeral and everything. Every single day, all day long, I cried when I was alone.
Not
in front of other people.
Mm. Gotcha.
Not in front of other people. And that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. That was God carrying me.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so my mind was, I got to be strong, got to be strong. Well, Miss Tiffany, another thing I remember about that incident is that my youngest brother, mm-hmm. was literally en route to Florida for a vacation. Oh, and I just now thought about the favorite place I like to go was somewhere he was headed to. Yeah, so it was June 1999. But he was going to here to have a vacation, and I had to call him. I had to make a decision to call him and ask him to come back home because of what had just happened, or to not tell him. That was oh my gosh, that alone, on top of everything else, it was just so hard. But I had to tell him, and I tried in every other way not to. And I just, now I'm feeling those emotions that I was feeling on the other end of that phone, about to tell him that, you know, our mother is gone.
Yeah.
And but now, you know, I was so devastated I couldn't go back to work. I tried to after everything, after we buried my mom and everything, I tried to go back to work. I literally couldn't function.
Yeah, understand, Lindy.
Yeah, so I left.
It's real.
Yeah, so I quit the job, and but guess what? I now have the responsibility of not only taking care of my two children that I have at the time, but I now have my two brothers and my foster brother.
Gotcha. Yeah.
To take care of.
Yeah. And, what know, was that shift like? What was that like, Lindy?
Ooh. Can we just say devastating on top of devastating?
Okay. Just yeah.
Devastation. But in my heart and mind, mm-hmm. it was just what I'm supposed to do. It's just
I see.
What I'm supposed to do. But financially, it was very, very hard.
Yeah, you know? A bit.
But that's also kind of how it came to be that my younger brothers see me more as a mother figure than just mm-hmm. a sister.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like you mentioned it earlier, Lindy, of how, you know, your mother was the oldest of her siblings and how she took care of them. And now you're finding yourself in this same role, only 20 some years old with your own two children, and then having to shift from being I'm big sister to being I'm now a mother figure. That's a lot. How did you navigate that? That sibling relationship when you stepped into that role?
Well, to be honest with you, death can bring bring on a lot of different areas of grief.
Yes, it can.
So,
yeah, you're right.
So not only just the grief of losing our mother, mm-hmm. you know, and all that, the whole dynamics of what that brings about. But my brothers kind of, due to our financial situation,
mm-hmm.
they kind of
mm-hmm.
found themselves out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
Never with my approval. Uh-huh. It was actually unbeknownst to me.
I see.
But they found themselves getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am trying to navigate another area of life that I was totally unfamiliar with.
Uh-huh.
And so they went down some roads. And so, of yeah. course, that was very, very hard on me as well.
Yeah.
But we survived it. Praise God. We survived uh-huh. it with a whole lot of prayer.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, finding someone that I could talk to and call on for help and support.
Yeah.
That is how I made it through, by the grace of God. And like I said, God carrying me. You know, because they got in trouble almost immediately
uh-huh.
after. So I'm talking within, you know, a few months of yeah. my mom's passing, sudden death.
Mm-hmm. They, you know, we often hear about trauma responses to things. And, you know, a lot of times when we are younger, you know, teens or whatever, I don't know how old they were at the time, but, you know, trying to probably help you, you mentioned financially and trying to, you know, even handle that, especially as men, you know, as mm-hmm. a son, mm-hmm. A black man at that, you know, it can be difficult. And so it sounds like it's that trauma response. And then for you, the responsibility of now, like, having all that weight on your shoulders, mm-hmm. The fact that you're able to recognize that it was nobody that God that carried you through that, you know, time period, you know, I'm sure now you look back and you're like, how did I make it? Oh, I was carried by God. But I'm sure at that time it was tough. So I'm happy you mentioned that, Lindy, because I feel like there's people out there that's dealing with this right now. It's mm-hmm. 20, 30 having to raise their, you know, siblings for whatever the reason may be. And right. so I think that's a testament to people who may be listening that God will carry you through. So I really appreciate you for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Very important.
Absolutely. There's no way I could have made it, you know, without him. And one day, I mean, I became obsessed
okay.
with wanting to know. I knew my mother was a believer. Like, she had been baptized and everything, you know, when she was younger.
Okay.
So I knew she was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so obsessed with wanting to know the details of my mom's death and her last words, emotions, thoughts, and stuff. And it almost took me out.
I understand it, Lindy. Hot. I understand it.
It almost took me out. And I tell you what God did for me.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit allowed me one night while I was sleeping. The Holy Spirit allowed my mother to come to me. And we just talked and talked and talked. And I was able to ask her, you know, about her being okay. And she still just had the biggest, happiest smile on her face. And we just talked and laughed forever and ever and ever. It was only then, after that, that I was able to let that obsession go. And so, you know, I know the Bible speaks of, you know, the Holy Spirit and God visiting people in, you know, visions and dreams all the time. Definitely. And I can just personally testify for myself that again is how I made it over. That's how I could give some closure to that obsession that even though I was still forging through, because, you know, I have reasons to live, you know, I have my children and I have my, you know, my brothers. Uh-huh. And so I have reason to still be here, but it was hard. And that was a significant part in helping me.
I'm glad you shared that with me, Lindy, because I'm going through that now. And you do, it does become an obsession. So I'm happy to hear that, you know, moments will happen. The time will come when I will even for myself be able to be, I don't want to say okay, or that I will be at peace. That's the perfect word. At peace. Yeah. Because you do, you wonder all that stuff. Like, what did they have on when this happened? What was their final moments like? Like, you know, I know some of it, but it's questions I want to ask. And so it can become definitely an obsession. I'm glad that's a good term. That's powerful. And it also shows like, that's pretty intense for you to be devoting that much of your time. And then how she came to visit you. And, you know, that happens, has happened to me a couple of times. And so I think it's more so of me being surrendering and being willing. I think that's always hard to accept that, you know, acceptance is hard, that, you know, this person has visited you numerous times and said, I'm okay. You know, like you say, big smile, all of that stuff, like they're literally here. You wake up and it's like, oh, you know, this is not, but like you said, the key to what you just said is definitely, you was at peace in accepting that. So that's what kind of helped you through those moments of that obsession.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Definitely. I like that. Those moments and every other moment in my life, where trials and tribulations and tests and, you know, traumatic experiences have happened.
I
lean on, and I'm so thankful for a peace that surpasses all understanding. So even though I'm never going to fully understand many, many things in life and why, and why now and why not, you know, but having that relationship with Christ, I don't know what people do who don't have a relationship with God or some higher being in, you know, whatever faith they have. But without faith, I don't know how people manage, how they truly cope.
Yeah, I don't either, Lindy. That's a really good point, because I know I'd be somewhere I'm not even here. Like, I don't see how they manage it either. With that being said, let me ask you this. Your mom, what's the greatest lesson you think your mom taught you? The greatest lesson that you took away from her?
Oh, wow. So one is love unconditionally. And I say that, Tiffany, because that's one lesson, and it's not something she ever said to me verbally.
Okay.
But what she did was she lived it. She showed it to me. Now, when I was younger, sometimes I would be so angry because I just witnessed someone disrespect her.
Okay.
You know.
Uh-huh. Right.
Be it family, be it a significant other or whatnot, a friend, It didn't matter. I've witnessed them all. Okay. And when I see someone hurting my mom,
right,
I believe I used to come a little unglued.
I'm sure.
And
yeah, I said, that's honest.
But she was never. She was always okay, and they would be back as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
And so that forgiveness.
Okay.
So, you know, showing me what it looks like to forgive people and to love unconditionally. She talked about the way she lived her life. And then wow. One of the other greatest things that she taught me, and this was verbally, she used to speak to people. And I remember having some type of issue for some reason or another. And I questioned her about speaking. And she said, speaking is a habit. We speak to people we don't even know. Mm-hmm. All day, every day. We speak to people we don't even know. So mm-hmm. Don't let anyone change you, who you are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you want to speak to people, speak to them. If they don't speak back, that's on them. That's not on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I live to that to this day. And sometimes Miss Tiffany has gotten me in trouble. because I genuinely don't hold grudges against anyone. I am quick to forgive anybody for anything, uh-huh. You know, at any time, just immediately almost.
Gotcha.
And I thank God and I thank my mother for that genetic makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Living with unforgiveness, and you may have heard it said, but it's literally just like waking up every morning drinking, you know, poison out of a bottle, uh-huh. Expecting somebody else to pass away from that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that, Lindy. I like the little illustration you used too with the water. That was
it just happened to be that, right?
Yeah. That was yeah, I liked it.
But
you're
like
right.
That. I'm the one poisoning myself. That's I'm so taking true. In the poison with the unforgiveness. And the other people are going on with their lives.
I've never heard it laid out like that, Lindy. That is very true. Yeah. That's a good way to, I like those quotes. She was sound like she was a lot like Quentin, honestly, you know, like you said, you know, I always understand like why you being nice to this person that done did this or that. Cause you know, I'm in, you know, I'm not all the way there.
Right.
But I like the way you said she, that was some of the qualities that you took from her and now you're able to use it. And you see the bigger picture, you know, and then the forgiveness piece is just, yeah, that's. Yeah, I like how you just laid that out. That was smooth.
Right. Well, glory to God for that, Miss.
Yeah. And it's And I'm gonna tell you this. It's funny that you just said everything you said because my last guest I had on talked about I think he talked about his dad and he was talking about how his dad led by example. And that was one thing you just said. It's so crazy how this is, we're having this conversation that I just had a couple of weeks ago. And that's real, you know, but it was the actions, you know, not what they said, but what they did. So thank you. Yeah.
That's very well.
Yes. Okay. So shifting gears a little bit. I know one thing when I talked to you, Lindy, and one thing I've never done on this podcast is talked about grief in an aspect of non-death related grief. Because as you mentioned earlier, grief comes in different waves. You know, it could be a divorce. It could be a career, you know, a job, loss of a job or a career or a dream. And I know that was one thing you wanted to explore today with me. And I'm grateful for that because we've never talked about that before. So I'm just going to open the floor for you to talk about some non-death related grief and what grief has looked like, you know, in your life, just different topics. So you feel free to flow as the spirit leads you.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, that is a tough one, right?
Yeah,
but it's true, and it's something that people deal with every single day, whether they know it or not, realize that that's what's happening, is mm-hmm. that they're grieving from a loss of something.
Yes.
And so going way back, even as a child, a small child, I experienced sexual assaults as a young child and not realizing, understanding, but I didn't have a safe place. I didn't have a safe place or safe space. Now, I say that because there were times when we were younger that my mom would, you know, go away for a little while. Mm-hmm. She would go, you know, out of the state or whatnot. And we would be left with some family. And so people that your mother trusts you to be with, you know.
Right.
And so at any rate, there was some, you know, I experienced as a child some repeatedly sexual assaults that I kept to myself. The reason, the main reason is because I didn't want to be separated from my brother at the time. My oldest brother, was just he and I. And unfortunately, we had actually had some, what they call the Department of Children's Services or whatnot, actually come visit that home and speak to me and my brother separately. And they had talked about if they took us away from that home, that there's no guarantee that we would ever see each other again, that we would be separated. Gotcha. Now, that's rough. That's rough. So I knew what I was experiencing, but was had no place to share it or escape it or get rescued.
Yeah.
Because of my love and not wanting to be separated from, you know, my only sibling at the time. And so that alone was a grieving period, you know, grieving the separation from my mom, even though I know she'd come back.
Right.
You know, she was coming back. You know, life be life, and life didn't just start life.
Oh, right. You're right.
Life has always been life. And so my mother would, you know, need those times to get away and stuff. And so for whatever reason, she would. And so that's some of it there. Some of those grieving areas. And then as time goes on, and me and my brothers grew up in the same house for the most part with our mother, the four, you know, four of us. But then I had to go through some other griefs. Seeing my mother, like, physical abuse. And I vowed at 6 years old, because of what I was seeing, is that I would never, ever be in a relationship where there's domestic violence. You know, and I stood by that. But that was another, you know, just in a place when you want to do something, but you can't do anything. You know, you're too young. You know, for one thing. And then, you know, with my brothers and even my children, you know, after my mom's death, I wanted to be able to provide and give everybody what they were used to getting. But of course I couldn't. And so just not having that support system at the time to keep everybody together and on the right track. You know, so just all kinds of different. And then our family hasn't been the same since my mom departed. Family time, coming together. I really, really miss that even to this day.
It changes. When that matriarch, it changes.
Absolutely. It does. And so I'm thankful and grateful that everybody now is, you know, have come full circle, and everybody, you know, loves the Lord, you know. None of us are perfect or, you know, saints. None and I'm definitely not claiming to be. But I know where my help comes from. And I understand the power, you know, of forgiveness of sins, and that we, you know, are striving daily for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us until that blessed day that we'll leave this earth and be in eternity. But yeah, so that's just a few. I mean, you mentioned could be a divorce. I definitely went through a divorce. Missed it. That was definitely a grieving moment. And I would say, if there was ever a time that mentally and emotionally and spiritually, like just a whole combination of at a low place.
Yeah.
It was after my divorce. So gotcha. Going through that and trying to rediscover who I am. And yeah. So through everything from, like I said, the repeated sexual assaults as a child to a outright just a rape as a child.
Okay.
Having those separation anxieties, if you will, you know, fear. The enemy will come in and will plant fear any way he can and use anybody to do that. So if even living in a state of fear is a space of grieving.
Yeah, it is.
You find yourself because you just don't know what to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And how to do it. But yeah, so everybody, like I said, now, you know, everybody's good. Everybody is, you know, on their way to greater and better things. I choose to evolve after every situation. And I didn't realize that what I was doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was just surviving. But literally, God revealed to me because I choose not to give up.
Uh-huh.
Because I choose to call out his name, to call upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I choose to evolve, then my life is continually evolving.
Yeah.
So I'm changing and growing for the better through all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of those things, you sometimes you wonder, well, where was God in the midst of that?
True. That's true.
But God was right there.
Right there. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I had to learn that both good and evil exist in this world. And they exist simultaneously.
They sure do. Yeah.
And then I said to myself, too, again, with understanding and time now.
Right.
With understanding and time.
Takes time. Yeah.
You know, and God. So I've understood that Jesus didn't do anything wrong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
As both, you know, human and spirit, but he was flesh here on this earth. He never done anything wrong to anybody.
Right.
And yet, what he suffered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to look and say, well, what about, you know, are you better than Jesus?
Yeah. Who am I?
Yes. Who am I?
Yeah.
And so I've made it and I've survived each one of them. And then I've thrived to a new level each time through every hardship. Through every grief, through every experience, you know, that has tried to take me out.
Yeah. It shows your resilience, Lindy.
Absolutely.
You're a very resilient person, you know, to overcome and be able to go through all those experiences. I mean, that was a lot you just talked about, you know, like you say, from sexual abuse to, you know, witnessing domestic violence and, you know, even your divorce. And I'm sure it's other things as well. Let me ask you this. I have two follow-up questions I want to ask you. Okay. We'll start with the stuff kind of in the beginning. So I'm sure you are now, I know you're a protector of, you know, you were a protector of your siblings, you know, when you had children, I'm sure you were protectors of them, even your grandchildren. Being that you experienced a lot of that as a child, did that shift or did that, shift the way that you decided to raise your own children, in being that protector and being, because, you know, I know sometimes when people go through stuff like that, they can be a little overprotective of their kids because they, of course, you don't want your children to ever experience anything, you know, that you may experience. So did that shift the way you raise them or even with your, you know, your grandchildren? Look, like, I know they're teenagers at this point. Well, probably going to be grown. I think one of them's already graduated. The other one's graduating. I'm still looking at them as being little kids, but does that shift like the way you handle, let's say you handle them or raise your kids?
Ooh, okay. So with that question, that's a very good question, Miss.
Okay.
A very good question. Somewhere along the way of You know, when I said when my mom's, with my mom's sudden death.
Yeah.
I found myself being the provider for my two children and my brothers.
Yes.
Well, all through my life, even as early as 8, 9 years old, I used to have, you know, my brothers on my hip.
I see.
And there was a time that they actually, my mom went away for a while again. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to, in as a teenager, I was 18. And I found myself taking care, providing for my brothers and my two children and everything.
Yeah.
And I believe I came like overwhelmed, burnt out, like I need some freedom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a teenager. Yes, I'm a young adult now and I have children, but to take on all these responsibilities at even that age that I was taking on.
Yeah.
It was like I got to a point where I need some freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself falling into that same trap of trusting.
I see. Okay.
Trusting, you know, family.
Yeah.
Just wasn't any doubt in my mind. I can fully trust them 100%, you know, with my children. And so there were two people. My daughter would go to one person all the time, and my son would go to one all the time. And so I guess I wasn't very protective, you know, of them like I should have been. And it's such a good and fair question because later on in life, I started wondering, has anyone ever?
I see. Okay.
Ever.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And so then that's when I became that overprotector, if you will.
Okay. Okay.
And I was like, I would always say to them, like question them, because I was never asked, or, you know,
I see.
And talk about that type of stuff. Right. But me, I would ask them and I would assure them. I found myself doing this a lot. Saying, you know, I don't care who it is.
That's right.
I don't care who it is.
That's right.
You know, at the time, even when my mom was there, I was like, I don't care if it's my mama. I don't care if it's, you know, my daddy, my brother. Yeah. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
If anybody ever.
Right.
But I never told them why.
I see.
I never told them why. And a lot of times, sometimes as parents, of course, it doesn't come with a handbook, a rule book.
No, it don't. My mama always say that. It don't come with a handbook. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So you learn as you go.
You
learn as you go. But then not too awful long ago, my daughter actually said that with her counseling, you know, group therapy, single therapy and stuff like that, she started to replace some of that in her head, to recall some of that.
Gotcha.
And she was like, they better helped her understand why I was frequently doing that.
Doing that. I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so that opened up a door too for us to, you know, talk and stuff. So yes, ma'am.
Yeah. That I like the way you were honest, Lindy, in that, and then how it's double back where you're now able to have those conversations, you know, with your daughter and, you know, just because then I'm sure that was like a weight probably kind of lifted off of your shoulder, because I think when things like that happen, sometimes we want to act like it didn't happen. But then it's like, well, why is mom asking me this all the time? And then, you know, that comes up. Then it's like, OK, it probably freed you of some things like, oh, like as a kid, I just couldn't tell you, I can only share so much. But this is why. I'm glad you mentioned all that and you mentioned about groups. My second question to everything you had said was, through all that you went through, even like from the childhood stuff, even on up to adulthood with divorce and things like that, did you ever go to therapy? Was that, I know therapy is a big conversation I have with people on this platform. But I just want to know, did you ever go or, any type of groups or anything like that?
I did not. I did not. I tell you what, I made myself available
okay
to hear the word of God. like all the teachings, okay. I would make myself available anytime there was any type of retreat going uh-huh. on where I am going to be spiritually fed.
Gotcha.
Especially women's retreats as well. So I went to all types of retreats, you know, for spiritual growth and development, you know, and just being able to learn how to cope through situations. Mm-hmm. But women's retreats, sisters yeah. retreats, those were places where it was safe. And so you got to be in groups and yeah. hear the stories mm-hmm. of others, you know, their yeah. testimonies, you know, and even what they may have been going through right then. And then collectively, we can all, you know, support and uplift and give encourage and hope to others because of what we've made it through and where we're standing now.
Yeah, I like that, Landy. You invested in yourself.
I did. Absolutely. Yeah. And Miss Tiffany, that is what we have to do. We don't have to do anything, right? But right. that's a benefit that we should all take advantage of. We should yeah. all see the value and the significance of pouring into ourselves and investing mm-hmm. in ourselves. That means mind, body, soul, you know, collectively.
Yeah.
Like I said, oh, there's just so many other things I'm thinking of where yeah. I would get down. But I tell you what, I prayed with all the situations in my life, it has kept me humbled and mm-hmm. praying and hopeful. And me seeing a lot of my prayers answered.
Oh, wow.
I have definitely witnessed a lot of my prayers being answered. And I celebrate in, you know, knowing when other people's prayers are answered as well. So I'm the type of person, and not by my choosing, uh-huh. but by design.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you hurt, I hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to know you. If you hurt, I hurt.
Yeah.
If you are happy and you're celebrating something, I'm genuinely happy and celebrating
right.
with you and for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just having that can be a curse and a blessing.
Uh-huh.
And I say that because when you have a lot of empathy like I do, sometimes it can get overwhelming taking on, you know, the heartache and pain and hurts of others. And so yeah. you have to find that balance as well, or mm-hmm. you will find yourself in a space and place of grief.
Yeah.
You know, for not living your life and or for how hard somebody else's life and situation is and how unfair it seems.
Yeah. That's true.
But yes, but definitely making myself available to all, you know, to hear the word and to be around people who mm-hmm. are there to evolve, to yeah. get from where they are to the next stage in life.
Yeah.
To, you know, that next level.
So you really poured into your own, into yourself. And mm-hmm. It's really confirmation, everything you're saying, Lindy, because someone recommended me go to this Serenity retreat in Arizona. And I was like, I'm not going to go. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And so I'm glad you're mentioning just how beneficial you, number one, choosing to pour into yourself and invest in yourself. And I'm going to go on these women conferences, retreats, summits, whatever that looked like for you. It's letting me know that I'm making the right decision, even though I'm scared to go on this, and how it can really help me with being in a room with people who you don't know. They don't know nothing about you, and hearing other people's testimonies. So I'm glad you just shared that with me personally, that's a good thing to really go to. And if you have anything come up that you hear about, let me know, because I might be interested in going. You're already in the vein of it. So.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, Ms. Tiffany, to be honest, mm-hmm. one of the retreats that I attended several years in a row,
okay.
the very first time that I went to that retreat was a blessing from your mother.
Oh, wow.
Because okay. something had come up where she couldn't go. And at the last minute, of course, she reached out to me and asked if I would be, you know, interested in going.
Interested. Yeah.
So I was at work and I remember sitting there and thinking, you know, I can't. It's last minute. I have a job. Yeah. You know, right. I work with some people. I can't just, yeah. I mean, it was like next week, you know what I'm saying?
Next
like,
week.
You know, maybe even a few days, you know, but
yeah.
I was like, but I prayed about it. And I really, really wanted to be, I needed to be there
needed
at that
to
time
be there.
In my life. And I went.
Yeah.
And one of the sessions that I went into, it's a Christian psychologist.
Okay.
I talk therapist. And I didn't know that at the time. I learned all this later.
Mm-hmm.
But she was one of a presenter. And she was talking about unforgiveness in this particular setting. And she had written a couple of books. She was an author as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just being there and hearing her say some things that she said changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
And again, I kept going every year, you know,
yeah.
each year I kept going back to this. But when you go seeking,
mm-hmm.
you'll find. And you'll find exactly what it is you need to evolve to your next level.
Yeah.
You know, to keep taking that step forward.
Going with expectation, where you want something. So you're not just going just to be going, but going with expectation in your heart, knowing that something is going to pour into you. Yeah. I like, you're so evolved, Lindy.
Well, so to God evolved. Be the glory. I try saying. In all areas. I do try in all areas.
Yeah,
I do try.
It's important because, like, you know, there's something I never really, I mean, I just, number one, I'm frugal, so I don't like spending no money. So my life has been typically, you know, I just go along with the flow of things and, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know, we pay money, get taken care of. We do whatever we got to do, keep it moving.
Yes.
So I'm the type where I don't typically, honestly, I don't say I don't invest in myself, but me going
right.
to a conference, having to get a plane ticket, having to do all this, like, not in my budget, not something I feel like I need. But at this point in my life, life has taught me a whole lot over this past year. And I know I don't have a choice but to invest in myself this point. Because if I don't invest in myself, that's what I have to do. You have to feed yourself. And it sounds like you've really come to figure that part out of how pouring into yourself, how important that is. So I appreciate you for sharing that.
You very, with very our, welcome.
And yeah, if you got places, anything coming up, you let me know. If I can
okay,
go.
I will.
If I ain't got a mandatory work thing, I'll definitely try and be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But let's see, you answered a lot of things I had, Miss Lindy.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. We talked a lot about, you know, how, you know, God has just been instrumental through that whole process with you. And that's how you were able to kind of navigate your grief and move forward. And even like reclaiming your hope. So let me ask you this. What are some daily practices that you do just to keep yourself grounded or rooted or just, you know, to be ready for the day and be able to move forward in life? You know, we all have different things that we do to get ourselves up and going for the day, whether that's in the mornings, during the day or night. What does your regimens look like, if you don't mind sharing?
I don't mind sharing at all. Let me not pretend like I've been, you know, that I have had a regimen, you know, this whole time, because
yeah.
I have not. But one thing that I do every day throughout the day and have,
okay.
you know, for life, even
yeah.
when I wasn't attending church.
Okay.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
Because just even looking back to when I got pregnant at an early age.
Yeah.
You can't listen to what everybody say, because everybody is not on the same level or the right level
mm-hmm.
of spiritual growth. And
that's
so
right.
sometimes people will say things to you to hurt you.
Yeah.
Even from the church.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so for me, when I was found myself, you know, young and pregnant and was loving church, someone said to me, you know, about, well, until you do this and do that and yada, 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 then mm-hmm. you're not really this or that and you won't be, you know, just all this stuff they said. So I stopped going to church for a while. And ironically, Tiffany, God used my daughter to get me back in church. And then I've been there ever since. I've never strayed away since God used my daughter, and he clearly used her, and I knew he did.
Yeah.
Because she, I wasn't going to church, and she started going to church with some friends from the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
And then so one day she came home and she said to me, "Mama almost went." She was like, you know, when the preachers stand up and they say you can come down and, you know, that thing, I almost went today. She was so excited, you know, and she, you know, we talked about it, whatever. That very next Sunday, I was in church with her, and I've never left the church again.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's because I got to thinking, God was letting me recall these things. She was like, she was 13. Well, guess when I accepted Christ? I was 13. How was I at the church? It wasn't because my mother was at the church. It was because I was going to church with a cousin.
Oh, wow, Lindy.
And I remember when I almost went a couple of times, but I kept holding on to the pew and I didn't go. And then one day I couldn't hold on to the pew anymore and I made that walk.
Had to go.
So all of that came back to my remembrance when she comes home telling me that she almost went. And I said, she will never make that walk and I not be there to witness it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like I said, things happen and you shift and you grow, you know. And so for me, what I do now is every day, soon my eyes open up. Unless something is really, really, really been stressing me and it might get there first. But I immediately shut it down and I say, you know, Lord, I thank you. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I just keep on just saying I thank you. Because I'm truly thankful and grateful to have opened my eyes and to know that I'm still here.
Yeah.
And that I have another chance to do better than I did the day before. You know, I have an opportunity to pour into someone else. And so, so number one, giving thanks as soon as my eyes open.
Okay.
And then I've started where I'm on a prayer call with other believers at 6 a.m. every morning, 7 days a week. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm also on a prayer call and it's 6 days a week.
Okay.
And so I implemented those two things in my life and they are awesome. And Miss Tiffany, I got to go back. You know, you asked me if I ever did therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
God just said, hello, hello. So I reached out to a professional therapist, counselor, who is also like a life coach and an empowerment coach.
Okay.
So when I reached out to her, I wasn't reaching out to her for therapy.
Okay.
I was reaching out to her for, you know, in, as an empowerment coach.
Gotcha.
Okay, to help me get to some levels I was trying to get to.
Okay.
And makes when she sense. Asked me to start telling her about me, some of the things that I poured out in just talking, it turned into some therapy.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So I think, did. My sessions turned into therapy sessions.
Yeah.
They did.
I think mentorship is important. And I think that, you know, like you say, you were seeking somewhere, one to just help you, you know, with life in that moment and to help you get to that next level. And I think that God definitely places people in our lives to do that. And in the mix of those conversations, you can definitely get you know, therapy dropped in, you know, here and there, not even really recognizing it. It's just like, this is a mentor and this is who I'm, you know, I'm seeking a little bit of guidance from in a way with life, like I say, right. Life coaches. right. And so that makes sense. That makes sense, Lindy.
It turned into, she was like, we can't move any further because you don't understand that those things that you never addressed and you never got therapy for is impacting where you're trying to go and get to.
That's right.
But you can't quite get there all the way yet. You keep finding the same stumbling block. Let's discover the root of the cause here.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. It's kind of, it's a phrase, you can't heal what you don't reveal.
That's it. That's right.
And that's a real thing. So it makes sense. You have to kind of unpack, you know, different situations you've been through so you can, you know, instead of just placing a Band-Aid on it and trying to just go on with life, it's going to keep popping back up if you don't deal with certain things. So it's something I'm definitely learning. So that's very true. That is very
true. And it'll manifest itself. Everything that we've ever gone through in life will manifest itself in one way or another.
Yeah.
In the decisions we make and how we move about and live our lives and things that we won't even take a chance on.
Yeah.
In life, we won't even consider or open up our, you know, vulnerability to, and we don't even realize it's connected to some stuff that could have happened way, way back when.
That's true. Oh yeah. That is very true. Very true.
So absolutely. Miss Tiffany.
Yeah.
I know you may have another question for me. Kind of time. I know time goes so fast.
I know. No, we wrapping up actually. Yep. We are wrapping up, Lindy. I got two more questions for you and I want you to promote what you got going on. So no, we are right on schedule. If you could have a song be your life story, what would that song be? And why?
I Give Myself Away.
Okay.
And I cannot sing, so your viewers might get enjoyment out of this. But you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the song. But
so you can use me.
Not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away.
That's right.
You know,
you need to be up in the choir, Lindy. Can't tune. You did good. But that's a real song. And when you think about the lyrics, that's powerful.
It is. It is. But that is it for me. And maybe the next time you listen to it or hear it, just think of me there, because that's literally, that's it for me. And then, Lord, I thank you.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you. You know, when the devil thought he had me, I sure got away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your love and grace. I just, you know, honey, look into the east, the west, north, south, all that. Sometimes we just can't find nobody. You know what I'm saying? We can't find nobody to help us fight a fight.
That's right. That's two good ones, Lindy. So, it definitely is. Yeah.
Lord, I thank you and I give myself away.
Give myself away.
You know, Miss Tiffany.
I do want you to, and I got some words I want to share with you before we get off, but tell the people what you do, Lindy. I know you're into the finance world, so if you want to promote anything you have going on right now, feel free to do so.
All right. Well, thank you, Miss Tiffany.
One
of the things, a huge movement, a huge initiative that I'm part of right now is they say by 2054.
Yeah.
So we just look 25 years from now. 25, you know, to 29 years from now, we're looking at no wealth left in the Black community.
Wow.
There is, if you don't know, there is $84.4 trillion changing hands here in America. $84.4 trillion. I want someone to, you know, do the math at some point and just look at what 1% of $84 trillion is. Right. Now, it's changing hands. And it's already in process, and it's going to continue for the next 15 to 20 years. But they're saying we, who have a racial wealth gap right now, that our wealth in our communities is going to be depleted.
Gotcha.
By 2054. So one of the big initiatives or movements is we are on a mission to help 1 million people, families, businesses have at least $1 million plus in assets and wealth insurance.
Okay.
Now, when I say wealth insurance, some people have death insurance because no one ever benefits from it until someone passes away.
Right.
Some of us realize that there is something called life insurance, and it really can be used while you are alive and pour in millions and millions of dollars into your generation, to your bloodline. So there's a big movement right now, a milli with a milli. So a million people with $1 million. And if you don't mind, I'll send you a link or something that you can share.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put it in the description of this video, Lindy. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. We can definitely put it in there so people can plug in and get to reach out to you in the event they, you know, are interested and want to know more about what you do and all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We can definitely put some information in the box for sure.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate that. And that will help pump trillions of dollars back into our community. And we will not face that racial wealth gap that they're saying will be depleted for us.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We're here. And you know, I just want to be found pleasing unto God.
Yes.
I want to be found pleasing unto God and trusted by people.
Yeah.
That's my daily heart's desire.
Gotcha.
And I feel like if I'm pleasing to God, then I have to be good to people.
Yeah.
And when I'm good to people and loyal to people, then people will be able to trust me and know that I'm here to empower, to enhance their lives in any way I can.
Yeah.
I'm actually, you know, a good connection specialist.
Oh, yeah, you are. You connected to everything. Everything. All the things. All the things. Well, Lindy, I really appreciate you being on today. And I did want to say this to you. You know, in my hard, toughest moments, you know, after Quinn was murdered, you know, I definitely consider you one of my spiritual mothers. And I don't know if you know that or not, but I want to take the opportunity to tell you that, because I really appreciate, you know, you coming down to my parents' house and sitting with me and praying with me. And I still have that letter you wrote me. And I read that every night. Affirmations to just remind me that I'm important, to remind me, you know, that Tiffany, you're going to get through this. And I want to say that publicly that I really, really, really appreciate you more than you'll ever know. And I always tell mom, I said, Miss Lindy, she got something special. She a prayer warrior. She I think she got some Pentecostal up in her. That's the kind of women I'm used to being around when I go to church with Quint. So I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. And I appreciate the time that you came down to the house and sat with me and prayed with me and mama. Like, I really appreciate it. And like I say, you are one of my spiritual mothers, and I need that right now in my life. I need all the support I can possibly get. So I appreciate it.
Amen.
So,
thank you. You are so welcome.
Yes,
I'm very humbled.
Yes.
I'm fighting back tears right now.
I know.
I said
I'm gonna save it to the end.
I'm very, very grateful and humble. And you know, there is an author that I met recently.
Okay.
She's also a preacher, and she's gone through a lot. You know, a lot of things when due to loss. Loss of a loved one. And so I won't steal the thunder, but this is something that I read in her book that I finished reading, and I resonated with it so well. So I want to just say right here, she says that, you know, her hope for this book, her story, is to help others to understand that death cannot be ignored by us or logically reasoned by us or for us. Death cannot be ignored by us or logically reasoned for us. She says, you know, you have to do what you have to do to get through the going through. You have to do what you have to do to get through the going through. Don't rush the process. We're constantly transforming. And death definitely causes a transformation in our lives. But know that there's a brighter side. So keep pushing.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Lindy. I really appreciate it. Amen. So we shall sign off with that being said. One thing Quinn used to always say is all is well. So I end every episode with all is well.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lindy. I appreciate it. And y'all have a good week. And we look forward to seeing you guys on the next podcast. Bye. We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.